This is Northland Angler, the Northland Tackle Podcast.
It's my honor and privilege to talk with John Peterson today, one of the founders of Northland Fishing Tackle and a lifetime angler and outdoorsman in the North Country. We have a lot to cover today, and we will get into the fun part of fishing in a little while, but we first wanted to discuss a situation going on with the Minnesota Hall of Fame. You are an inductee in the Minnesota Fishing Hall of Fame and also a board member. And, I know there's a GoFundMe campaign going on, and there's some concerns there. What's happening with the hall?
Well, the Minnesota Fishing Museum and Hall of Fame, the museum took over the Minnesota Hall of Fame here about 7 years ago or so, and it's a nonprofit organization that's been in existence now for about 20 some years. And, this thing has been self-funded. There's no state funding, or everything that runs the operation is really comes from donations. Okay. And all of a sudden, they decided, and the museum and Hall of Fame, the location of it is in right downtown Little Falls, Minnesota. And it's on Highway 27 on the west side of the city. And it's under construction this year, and it has eliminated all their walk-in traffic the entire summer. The road construction started in early June, and it's not going to end until late August. So it's a nice revenue stream that, the daily visitors that go to the museum and Hall of Fame, they generate. And all of a sudden, this is gone this year, so the revenue that has run operations, especially for those, 3-4 months of the summer when the tourist season is high, is virtually gone. So they're having trouble paying their bills, and because of that, they have went public and asking for support and donations to help them pay their bills and stay in business, so to speak.
Right. Does this, in your estimation, is this a short-term problem that needs a short-term solution, or is this something that could be an issue ongoing?
Yeah, it's really a short-term solution and really a problem. And another thing is they also depend on gaming for some of the revenue. And some of the gaming issues, the people that they used to work with, that we used to work with there, they have changed hands over the past few months, and the new owners are not into gaming, and so the revenue coming from the gaming has been reduced dramatically, and actually the museum has been running in a deficit here the last 3 months or so, but they're starting to get that back again, so that's starting to play in our favor, and once the road construction gets completed, that'll bring more revenue in from the visitors on a daily basis as well. So we don't feel it's going to be a long-term situation, but for right now, they went public and asking for donations and support to keep the bills paid.
How's the response been to that?
The response has been quite well. They really asked for trying to raise like $35,000, and I believe to date they're pushing $15,000 to $18,000 of donations have come in. So it's starting to come, and lots of $25, $50, and $100 people are coming in, and we're hoping for a couple of major contributors to come forward, and I think they will in time, because there's a lot of social media talk out there right now, and a lot of people are really getting behind it and trying to make it happen. So I believe that they will be able to raise the $35,000 or whatever is needed here within the next 60 days or so.
Okay, great. That's great news. I know you're an inductee into that Hall of Fame as well as the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, but not from that perspective, more the perspective of a guy who has made his living in the fishing industry. How important are things like that to the fishing lore?
Well, it's extremely important. You know, the fishing heritage here in Minnesota is, with our 10,000 lakes, and Minnesota ranks at nearly the top in all categories related to fishing. It has a tremendous economic impact to, you know, the revenue of this state, and tourism is such a big factor. And you talk about tourism, and fishing is a big part of people's summertime activities. And so it's really, really important. And also for, you know, the heritage, and to teach, you know, the next generations about, you know, what's happened over time and the history revolving around the fishing back in the day, how it all started and you know, back in the day, I mean, we all fished for, you know, for gathering. We were gathering food for the table.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that has really changed to more sport fishing. It seems like nowadays, we all like a good fish fry and a meal or two, but I think a higher percentage of the people that fish today are really fishing for the fun of it and for the sport of it. A lot of catch and release going on. And whereas back in the day, back in history, it was all... It was all methods. They were netting them and spearing them, and you know, fishing hard. The whole family would go out, you know, to gather, you know, food for the family.
What do we see if we go to the Hall of Fame and the museum? What are some of the cool things we'll discover there?
Oh, there's so many cool things to see over there. And if you a fisherman, or your grandfather fished, or your father fished, or you know, just fun to see some of the old relic fishing lures and fishing poles and the engines, the outboard engines that they used. And it's just, you know, just looking back in history. And it's for us people that, you know, have the interest in fishing. It is just, I love going through the place. Bring back so many memories. Again, I did most of my fishing as a youth in the late 50s, mid late 50s and 60s. Went through all those transitions of all the technologies in fishing rods, going from steel rods to fiberglass to graphite rods to all the different compositions in the fishing rods today, and the technologies and the fishing reels, equipment, electronics. It's just endless. The fishing lines, the technology there, and it's really a learning curve for anybody that would go in to the museum to, you know, see the evolution of all these different technologies and how fishing has changed over the years.
I don't want to get too philosophical here, but it just seems to me, when you think about how much people really enjoy fishing, when you think about that, when you take a kid out fishing for the first time and how instinctively fun they have, and then you go back and you look at, I think fishing and the joy of fishing is something that's been put in the hearts of humanity almost from the beginning of time, because some of the oldest artifacts you're going to find are fishing artifacts.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's you know, the heritage here in Minnesota is unbelievable. You know, as I study the statistics of all the, you know, the states in the U.S. here, Minnesota ranks, you know, way in the top three in every single category, because of we're so blessed to have, you know, over 10,000 lakes here that have fish in them, and Minnesota is very, very blessed, and we are working on the Fishing Museum Hall of Fame. We've been working on trying to construct a brand new fishing museum in the state here, and we've come real close to making a couple of deals with a couple different communities that have fallen through, but we're still working at that today, and we project that within the next 5 years that we're going to have a new Fishing and Hall of Fame Center here in the state of Minnesota.
Oh, that'll be very, very exciting. Tell me a little bit about how it runs. I know there's a board and you're a part of it. How many people are on the board and who else is involved?
Yeah, I just become a member of the board of directors of the Minnesota Fishing Museum and Hall of Fame over the past 3 years. And there is a, I think there's 13 board members right now, and they consist of a lot of people from our fishing communities that are stakeholders in our fishing industry, and they come from all walks of life. And there's just people that have a genuine interest in fishing, and they really are passionate about this museum and about the historic things that have happened through the years, and they want to pass it on to the next generations and next generation. So, and I wanted to get involved because fishing has been such a big part of my life, and it has been so good to me and my family, and at my age right now, and I just feel good about giving back whatever I can to, you know, pass my knowledge and my interest and my help onto the next generation.
I don't know about you, John, but I'm really excited about the emergence of high school fishing and college fishing and turning it into a sport on the high school and college level.
That is a wonderful thing.
Oh, it's a wonderful thing, and it's red hot right now, and we just are. I'm also involved in another nonprofit fishing organization called MinFish, and it's a new organization that a bunch of us fishing industry stakeholders started here over the past year and a half to 2 years, and we've already been instrumental in getting $200,000 out of the state legislature for, you know, the high school fishing league, and that's something just come down here over the past 2 or 3 months. So we're very, very happy about that, and it's a hot topic in the schools, and mm-hmm. people like the outdoors and in fishing. It is catching on throughout not only Minnesota but throughout the whole United States, kind of like the trap shooting has, and a bunch of other, you know, sports that are evolving, you know, out of the school systems. That it's just so good to see, because it just promotes. Fishing is such a sport that you can enjoy your whole life.
Yes.
Sometimes you're playing athletics and sports, and you know your body's only good for, you know, so many years, and you can't do it anymore. One thing about fishing is just you can do that your entire life and share it with anybody and everybody at the same time.
Well, I've asked your brother Dwayne and I've asked your nephew Travis this question, so I'm going to ask you this question. I've never got a straight answer from them. Which one do you like better, fishing or basketball?
Oh man, that's a tough topic. You know, I'd have to go with fishing, but I've always had a love for basketball. I just love sports in general, and not only basketball is one of my favorites, but I mean, I just am really a sports fan, and I love to follow all the you know, the sports team, local sports teams, the state sports teams, and love listening to you through the years, and you cover a lot of the events for us and on the radio, and we see you at a lot of the events as well. And
oh yeah,
and we can't thank you enough, and your radio stations for everything you do for this community and for the great sports that we all enjoy so much.
Well, thanks very much for the kind words. Appreciate that. Hey, as long as we have you on the line, we might as well talk a little fishing. How's it been out there?
Well, fishing is always good, Kevin. Some days to catch not good as the fishing, but I, anyway, I'm in retirement now. I've been fully retired now for about the last 4 years, and really enjoying it. And now I can get up in the morning and do what I want to do instead of what I have to do. Even though being in the fishing business my whole life, it was not hard getting up and getting after it, because it was a very pleasurable business. I'm still involved with Northland Fishing Tackle, but I did give up. I got partners now, I should say, mm-hmm. and gave up my office about 3 years ago. And now my main office is my boats, but I do fish a lot. I fish a lot. I like to fish the multi-species. I fish a lot of walleyes early in the year, and now I've really been turning to bass fishing here the last few months again, and fished a couple tournaments already, and I'm going to fish a tournament with my brother up on Rainy Lake for smallmouth bass, and a in another couple of weeks. But the fishing is always good. But, you know, the water temperatures are really warm this year. They were slow to start, but they have heated up the water temperatures in all of our lakes right now, especially the surface temp is up in the high 70s and even in the 80s.
Wow.
I was up on Rainy Lake here last weekend. Had 81-degree water temperatures in some of the bays, 81 degrees, like a bathtub.
That's warm.
And I'm seeing a bloom on a lot of our lakes right now. And we might have a fish die off here this year if the weather continues to stay as warm as it has, as water temperatures are really high, and sometimes it ends up trapping some of these fish, and they end up coming to the surface and dying off. We haven't had one of those years for quite a few years, but it could happen. It could happen this year. But anyway, the fish are really, when you get hot weather like this, a lot of them go to the weeds. The weeds provide cover from the sun, and a lot of the bait fish are in there. And if there's bait fish in there, the fish follow suit, and they use those weed beds to hide. They use it for shade and concealment, and it's a place they can hide and lash out at their prey. And so we spend a lot of our time, especially in summer, once the weed growth gets up good, fishing in and around the weed beds.
And you'll find everything in there.
Everything's in there. Yep, you got that right. And again, the bait fish are there. If the bait fish are there, the fish are going to follow suit. And that's why the walleyes are in there, the pike are in there, the muskies are in there, perch are in there, and the panfish are always in there, and the bass are always in and around the weeds. So for you anglers out there that are either struggling to catch fish or want to know where to hang out, you just hang around those thicker, heavier weed beds, right in the middle of them or out on the edge of them. And weeds are kind of hard, to fish, once, they mature and thicken up. But if you use some, a lot of times even a vertical slip bobber works good in the weeds if you don't have a lot of wind. And just, weedless jigs or fishing on the edge, spinner baits work good if you're fishing for bass and pike. And there's a lot of ways of catching them in the weeds, and a good place to hang out.
Yeah. One of the cool things going back to the high school and college fishing teams, one of the cool things about that, it's introducing more people to the pleasures of bass angling, something that I know you guys know about for a long time, but a lot of people just have ignored in Minnesota. But that is the fish you should be fishing for right now, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I used to be, pretty much a walleye fisherman when I grew up as a kid and early in life. And then I just, as time has evolved, I really enjoy the multi-species and going after, whatever active and biting and available, whether it be crappies or bluegills but our bass fishing here in the state of Minnesota is some of the best in the whole nation. But because we have so many other species to fish, it's kind of forgotten about, and it's really too bad because they're very, very sporty and fun to fish. They're willing biters in a lot of cases, and we spend a lot of time, fishing our lakes around the Bemidji area here for, largemouth bass and smallmouth bass. There's not a lot of smallmouth bass lakes in our area here. There's a few around, but largemouth bass are pretty much are in all of our lakes around here, and most of them, are in the shallow waters, the 10-foot of water or less. Some lakes are the bass fishing lakes that are panfish oriented, bass and panfish oriented. They'll get down in that, 20 to 25 foot depths as well. But most of our lakes are, and the bass are caught in 10 feet of water or less, in and around weeds.
John, for those who are listening, saying, "Well, I like to try bass fishing, but I don't have the money to buy all kinds of new equipment." I don't think you really need that much new equipment, do you?
No, you don't. It's real basic. Again, one thing about bass fishing, the worms. Worms are really popular this time of the year when the water gets warm and they're in the weeds. A Texas Texas rigged worm is very effective, and all it is virtually a bullet sinker and a worm hook and a plastic worm, a 6, 7, 8-inch plastic worm. And if you have like 14-pound test, 17-pound test, and a medium heavy action rod, either spinning or bait casting, I mean, you can, you know, it's really all you need. Obviously, it's not all you need, but I mean, you can catch plenty of bass just on a worm, a Texas rigged worm. And there's spinner baits, and there's topwater, and there's crank baits, and there's so many different methods of catching them. And it's all about the lake you're fishing and figuring out what is the best technique, you know, to catch those fish. But if you're just out, want to have fun and just catch fish, I mean, you know, right now, instead of, you know, the walleyes are hard to catch right now. They are. It's warm water season is, you know, they're active, but a lot of them are hanging out in the weeds, and you got to catch them early in the day or late in the day, because there's so much boat traffic on a lot of our lakes right now with the jet skis and the pleasure boats out there. You know, it puts them to the bottom of the weeds and in deep water, and they're not real active during the middle of the day when all the boat traffic is. Well, you got to fish at night or early in the morning or late in the evening. But bass fishing, it just seemed like you can get those fish, you know, in closer to shore where the boaters are not, and you can catch them by wading off docks, and they're just willing biters, and that's why you know, bass fishing is so popular on a national basis too. They're willing biters, and you can always catch a few when you get out there.
And you got that big tournament coming up, as you noted, on Rainy Lake, one of two big ones up there. I imagine that's going to take some decent weights to win that tournament.
Oh, yeah. It always takes, we can only bring in 5 fish a day. It's a 2-day tournament on the American side, and we can fish on Rainy Lake on both sides, on the American side or the Canadian side. And it takes, you got to have a 3.5-pound average to win. To win, sometimes over 4-pound average to win. So those are big fish, and you have to know the lake and the techniques to catch the biggest fish. Not always the most fish, but to target the biggest fish. And right now the biggest fish are normally the hardest ones to catch. So, but I fish with my brother Dwayne. We have a great time with that, and my other relatives, Travis Peterson and Craig Peterson, they team up together, and we sure have a good time with that. We love Rainy Lake. We love those the border waters up there, and we look forward to another year. We ended up 5th last year, and we're always competitive, but it seems like we're always a few pounds lighter than what we'd like to be. But that's the games we play, and we sure enjoy the competition and the camaraderie that surrounds those fishing tournaments and just fishing in general.
That tournament is loaded with good anglers.
Oh, yeah. No, these guys are a lot of the fishing guides from the area up there. We get a lot of tournament fishermen from throughout the state of Minnesota, from the Twin Cities area and all over. No, these anglers will travel. And they really like traveling to the north during the hot part of the summer in July and August. And a lot of those guys love fishing up in Lake of the Woods, Rainy Lake, and even up in our Bemidji area. We get an awful lot of traffic from anglers from the south coming up here to fish our waters for muskies and bass and whatever they're pursuing.
John, before we wrap it up, let's talk once more about the Hall of Fame. If somebody wants to contribute and help get through this shortfall, what's the process for doing that?
The best process to do is to go on the Minnesota Fishing Museum website. And I don't know the exact call-out letters here right now, but if you just type in Google in, type in Minnesota Fishing Museum /Hall of Fame, you'll go to the site. And once you get to the site, you will have everything on the site that if you want to make a donation, you can make it from the site. You can call it into the numbers there, and it's pretty much self-explanatory on their website. So that's what I would recommend. And to you, the listeners out there that are, and I know there's just so many anglers that live in the Bemidji area that are very passionate about fishing and our fishing industry and the heritage of fishing here in Minnesota. And if you have it in your heart to send them a few bucks to help out during these troubling times for the Fishing Museum and Hall of Fame, it would be highly appreciated. And us anglers would be very, very, very grateful.
All right, we're talking with John Peterson. He is a Freshwater Hall of Famer nationally and in the state of Minnesota, and one of my favorite people from one of my favorite families, the Peterson family. Great, great people. And, John, I really appreciate you taking time to chat with us today. It was a blast. Thank you very much.
Well, good. Kevin, thanks for calling me.